those present with us here and those who are online. If you're on Facebook Live, we do ask that you would like, share, and follow, as well as check in. It's even if you're in the building here, you can check in too at Facebook. That helps other people know where you are this morning and helps them to know how to find us, okay? So we wish you'd do that for us.
And to keep everyone up to speed, Kids Corners for preschoolers and our nursery for our littlest ones, 0 to 2, are both back in full swing, and Kids Church Worship for our elementary age school is back on as well.
All right, there are two awesome things happening next Sunday, July 5th. If you're going to be here, great, I want you to know about it. And I want you to know about it even if you're not going to be here. Two things that are happening. We're having a baptism again next Sunday. It's a special story. I don't have time right now to tell you. We'll tell you a little bit about it next Sunday. But we'll be having a baptism of a young lady. She's from India. And I'll just leave it at that for right now. And the second thing is we're going to have ourselves a picnic. We're going to have worship in here in the morning. Then we're going to have a break, go home, change your clothes. Phil will probably put on a camo shirt or something. I don't know what he'll put on, and maybe just leave what he's got on. Get some picnic stuff together, and we'll meet down at the pavilion at 6 o'clock on next Sunday evening, kind of an evening in the park. We haven't done that, so we're going to have a picnic together. We'll provide some barbecue chicken and some hot dogs for the kids, or if you like hot dogs, leave the chicken for me. You can do that. And we'll just gather down there at the pavilion at 6 o'clock and just have some time together. We'll do some worship, I think. We'll try to pull out guitar and do a couple of things down there. I invite somebody, if you'd like to do that, to be a part of that time. Now, I asked last week to have some help. I think it was Pri that asked last week while I was enjoying some time away. Get a hold of me if you'd like to help put things together for that. Nobody contacted me because you all were waiting for somebody else to do it. So you're not going to contact me. You're going to talk to Phil. He needs help with plates and cups and getting all that stuff out and getting that stuff ready. We need someone to go down to the pavilion and make sure that the tables are ready, that the area is cleaned up. You need to see Phil for that as well. So if you've got time, you've got an hour, you've got 30 minutes, whatever, to help out, please see Phil to get that kind of stuff arranged, all right? All right. Yeah, your turn now.
Okay, we're going to continue to use our I Love My Church buckets to receive our offerings and tithes at the conclusion of our time of worship and the Word. They're available in the foyer as you exit, or use the online giving access on our webpage, the text to give option, or mail your gift to NHCC. We truly thank you for giving to the ongoing work and mission of this church, helping people find their way back to God.
Great. She does a great job following the script that I gave her. Some people don't do well with that, including me.
Good morning, everybody. So nice to see you all again. Let's stand and pray, and we'll get right into worship. Father, I do thank you so much for this beautiful day and that we are all here together, healthy and whole.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you for this gift of life, Father. I ask, Lord, that your Spirit dwell in this place with us today, yes, Lord, and that you would be magnified, Lord, and that it would change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Now make sure you put your hands together. I don't know, you going to help lead that, putting your hands together? You got to get the beat on that, okay.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, with wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power.
Our joy and prize to
Tasha got a chance to see me play that song. She says, I had no idea how fast you had to play. And I'm telling you what, trying to breathe, sing, and chew gum. No gum today, but it's a work, and I'm glad you helped me out with that. Really appreciate that. Sing to the Lord this morning.
All of my days, I want to pray.
shout it out. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the
be seated. We want to share some scripture with you this morning. I'm going to be speaking about the invisible kingdom, the kingdom of God. We've got two scriptures that we want to share, one out of Daniel 7:13-14, and one out of Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33.
As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed.
He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The kingdom that we're speaking about is the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Some call it the kingdom of heaven, but it is the kingdom of Christ. And it's his name that we praise this morning.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
I'm wondering this morning if there's something in your life where the name of Jesus has been powerful. Is there something where he is just, you just speak his name and it's like things just get erased? I truly believe that it is the name of Jesus that causes the enemy to tremble. It's at the name of Jesus that the enemy flees from our lives. When a thought comes to mind and you know it's not pure, you know it's not holy, you know it's not righteous, and you say, Jesus, something happens. Something happens. Oh, I'm sure the battle is on. But say his name again, and the battle will be over. That's how great our God is. That's how powerful his name is. You want to stand with us? You can.
Bring light to the dark.
Bow your heads with us. Thank you for this time together. Lord, we've been going through some stuff this week. We've been going through some hills and some valleys, some mountains and some ocean seas, depths of the ocean. We've been going through a lot. And so it's our benefit, it's our pleasure, it's our joy to worship you, to come into your presence and to praise you, to give our hearts and our minds to you at this moment, Lord, to share together your goodness and your grace, to recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great and mighty one. You are the one that builds this kingdom. It's not our kingdom. Lord, forgive us for trying to build our own kingdoms. And help us to build yours. Help us to be good workers in the kingdom of God. And to praise you and to honor you and to worship you. Father, we pray for those who are mourning today. Though they praise you with their mouths and their lips and their hearts, there's still a spot within them that is sad. And we ask God that you would just be with them, to uphold them, lift them up. God, there are those who are dealing with ailments and sickness, and God, we pray that your hand of healing would just come down upon them and touch them. God, that there would be miracles that would happen, that you would be praised, that your name would be lifted high, and that another testimony and another witness of your goodness and your greatness would be shared. Lord, for those who are trying to make decisions, God, I pray for the wisdom of your Spirit to come upon them as well, God, that they would have this insight that they had not before, that emotion has been driving them, and now they have clear thought because of your wisdom, because of your presence. Lord, we just ask that you be with us this morning as we look into your word and as we talk about this invisible kingdom that you have, that we're a part of. We ask for your blessing on the remainder of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
There is a kingdom that exists outside of the physical realm. It is not built on earthly power, and its nature is not worldly. It is a kingdom within mankind, set up in their hearts and souls. Its riches are spiritual, its power supernatural, and its glory eternal. It does not need weapons of this world or armies of men to maintain or advance its borders. Its object and design are not visible. This is a kingdom not of this world. It is invisible.
The concept of kingdom in our modern day world is relegated to maybe places in Southeast Asia or somewhere in the Middle East. Even in Great Britain and in England, we don't even think of the kingdom of the Queen. the kingdom of the queen. Isn't that interesting? We don't think of kingdom like we would think of a regular government. We just don't think that way. But there is something that Jesus talked about an awful lot of, and it's his kingdom. He called it the kingdom of God, and that was how people could relate to it because that's how they thought. They didn't think of Jesus as God. And because they didn't think of Jesus as God, they truly had to catch what he was saying. The kingdom of God. His ministry started out just speaking of this kingdom, preaching this kingdom. There were moments where he would just say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I wonder what they were thinking about. And I wonder what you're thinking about. What is this kingdom? What is this kingdom that he was speaking of? There are three scriptures, and I probably left them on the photocopier. So if someone could run back to the photocopier and grab those, Mike's going to go get those. As you know, I'm wearing a lot of different hats at the moment, right? Oh, it doesn't take a secretary. That won't do any good. But Jesus spoke of a kingdom that was something that they didn't have reference for. He's probably looking on the copier going like, I don't see it anywhere. Oh, he found it. That's good. Yeah, that's what I need, yeah. Yeah. I don't even think I gave you those scriptures, did I, Mike? I was so busy trying to be the band director. Thank you, guys. Luke 17, 20 and 21. And he'll quickly get over there and he'll do that too. He's ambidextrous. In fact, he can bend over backwards. Mike, come up and show everybody. Luke 17, 20 through 21. The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. This is the New Living Translation. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. You see, Jesus was being asked questions about, well, where is this kingdom? They were thinking it was some place. Where is the kingdom you speak of? You see, we understand that there's a kingdom here and a kingdom there and a kingdom over there, and here a kingdom, there a kingdom, everywhere a kingdom, kingdom. And when Jesus spoke to them, he said, this kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. Are you waiting for the kingdom of God? Are you waiting for it? Are you expecting to see it? If you think you're going to see the kingdom of God, where are you going to look? Oh, I'm going to look in Jerusalem because that's where it's going to be set up. I want to tell you something. Jesus doesn't say that. Now, there are all kinds of different doctrines of the kingdom of God, and I'm going to share with you mine. I believe mine is stated right here. It cannot be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. He's talking to religious leaders and religious preachers and teachers. And they're thinking that if he's going to have a kingdom, it's going to have to be a place. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not that kind of a kingdom. In John 18:36, he's answering Pilate, the one who's going to inevitably going to give the order for him to be handed over and be crucified. And he's trying to quiz Jesus, so you're the king of the Jews, where's your kingdom? You see, we are so focused on the physical, we miss the very thing that God is trying to open our eyes up to, and it's the spiritual. He says, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom's not of this world. In other words, my kingdom is not like your kingdoms. You've heard it said that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that his ways are higher than our ways, and his kingdom is not like ours. This kingdom is a moral kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. In Romans 14:17, the Apostle Paul, after he had had his conversion, after he had had his eyes closed and his eyes opened, he can now see things he couldn't see before. He could see the ways of God like he had never seen before. He was one of those people looking for a kingdom to be built where Jesus would somehow sit on a throne that was David's throne, King David's throne. I want to tell you something. Jesus doesn't need our stuff. He was the creator, the maker, the author of all that we have, and he doesn't need what we have. He doesn't need our kingdoms. And Paul got it. He said, for the kingdom of God, in Romans 14:17, is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of stuff. It's not a matter of the physical, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the essence of the kingdom of God, where his rule and reign brings joy, where his rule and reign brings righteousness, where his rule and reign has something that is intangible. How is it that we continue to press forward looking for Jesus to do something physical when he's working diligently in our spiritual? Where we want to see something happen on the outside, he's doing the inside job. It is my desire to see physical things that are broken made whole. It's my desire to see illnesses healed. It's my desire to see this that is in this life made right and whole in this life. But I want to tell you something. If he chooses to not do that, he is doing something in me. I need to be released to that. I need to be able to hand myself over to that. You see, his kingdom is something that I can't touch. If I can't touch it, I can't manipulate it. If I can't touch it, I can't change it. If I can't touch it, I can't recreate it in my image. You see, it's invisible, and it's something that God has made possible for us. What is the kingdom of God? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is near you. His parables. The kingdom of God is like, somebody give me one. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The smallest seed in the garden. And when it's planted, oh, it grows to this enormous thing and gives housing and places for birds to roost in it and so on and so forth. The kingdom of God is like, because it was something invisible, Jesus kept saying to them, the kingdom of God is like. He didn't say the kingdom of God is. It is like. So when we keep looking for something of God, we're probably looking in the wrong place. It's not a place that we eat something or drink something, but it's a quality, not a quantity. And Jesus continued to try to help them. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. I can't say that Jesus was desperate, but he knew that the job of taking their thoughts and molding them and shaping them was going to be a big one. And he kept preaching about this kingdom. because he knew that the kingdom of men was often oppressive, was often irregular, inconsistent, broken, oftentimes hurtful. It rarely lifted people up. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the kingdoms of this world, they do that? They hold people down and they put people in their place and they break things and they rarely build anything for others. Kingdoms of this world aren't about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is like, but he never said it was any of the things that we would want it to be. Jesus spoke of it. He spoke of it in parables. He spoke of it in conversations. In John chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, one of the spiritual leaders, and Nicodemus says, well, how can I enter the kingdom of God? And what did Jesus tell him? He said, you must be born again or born anew. You can't just enter the kingdom of God by water, but by water and the Spirit, water being the birth canal. You can't just be born and be a part of the kingdom of God. There's something else that has to happen, a transition, a transaction that has to be had for your own life. You must be born again, afresh, anew, spiritually. You must be born again to be a part of the kingdom of God. So in his conversations with people, he spoke of this kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, after he had resurrected, and he had been seen by many people. It says in chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. I don't know if that hits you like it hits me today. But the young lady that we're going to baptize next Sunday, she just found out that Jesus was real and that he's alive. And her heart is filled with joy. She's from India, and there's some struggles with that. Not only language, but culture and family. But she looks at me, and she, Pastor Dave was there, and she said, Jesus is alive. There is a quality in what she said that I think we miss. Oh yeah, Jesus is alive, we get that. No. He is the essence of a whole new kingdom. He's the essence of a whole new way of life. Jesus is the kingdom of God. And in her mind, he is alive. In her spirit, he is alive. That means that she has hope and that she can live righteously, that she can have peace, and she has the joy of the Holy Spirit, does she not? Oh, my goodness. So Jesus, after his resurrection, gave proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He spoke about the kingdom of God early in his ministry. He spoke about it with his disciples as they learned from him. He spoke about it as he went to the cross. He spoke about it after he got up from the grave and was living again. If you don't understand the kingdom of God, you need to figure that out. You need to learn. You need to read your Bible. You need to begin to process and ask questions, because the kingdom of God is more important than we've given. I looked for stuff on the kingdom of God. You know, Google kingdom of God sermons. See what other people have said. You know what? There ain't much out there. Christians, we are missing a golden egg when we don't understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was important to Christ. It must become important to me. There's something about it. Jesus spoke about it. He said it is real. And Jesus is the essence of the kingdom. Well, so why is this important for my life? I want to tell you, it's important for your life because it gives you an identity. If I am a citizen of the kingdom, I am a subject of the kingdom, I now have an identity. I am not just a foreigner walking around. I have a place in God where I know who I am. Jesus can help us understand who we are. There doesn't need to be any confusion about who you are. Now, if you think you know who you are, and you think you know who you are without Jesus, you don't know who you are. Say that again, or do I need to? Knowing who you are in this life without the author and the perfecter of your faith, without the one who created you, the one from the very beginning of all time, if you don't know him, how are you going to know who you are? He's the one that made you. You wonder why you do this. You wonder why you do that. You wonder why you're like this or why you're like that. And we ask the world, I wonder, do you know why I'm like this? Is anybody else like me like this? And so we take something that's broken and we compare it to something that's broken. And we go, oh, look, we're the same. Yeah, we're the same. We're same, the same broke people. Well, that's who we are. But in Christ, he says, no, you're not broken, for I have healed you. By my stripes, by my blood, I have made you whole. You aren't broken anymore. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm your king. Our identity is found in Christ. So many people struggling with who they are in this world. So many different groups of people trying to figure out what's the right way to be. And you know what? They haven't asked Jesus who they are. Man, it really takes care of a lot of issues. It doesn't necessarily change you, but it helps you understand you. I've often joked about this. In college, all of our friends who were psych majors, and I don't know if anybody here was a psych major or not. I apologize in advance. But I always laughed about it. I said, psych majors, they're taking that major so they can figure out why they're broken. They're gonna get to this, they're gonna get to this place in the textbook during a lecture, they go, oh, I know why I'm broken. Oh, I know why my mother treated me like this. And in reality, most people who find the world's context for why you're broken, you're still broken. When you find Jesus, he starts to heal that brokenness. He starts to show you where he can reach into your life. And by the power of his presence in the Holy Spirit, his kingdom, who he is, all of a sudden something happens. Your mind gets straightened out. Your thoughts, you stop thinking about that thing that just consumed you, and now you're thinking about kingdom thoughts because you read somewhere in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. So I'm God, what's the kingdom of God? I need, Lord, help me with the kingdom of God. You start to think about things differently. Instead of focusing on just your hurt or your wound because he's taking care of that. You see, your identity. Why is it important to understand the kingdom of God? It's because it's where our identity is found. It's your citizenship. It's a place to be. It's somewhere to belong. It's not a club. There's no membership dues. There's no membership fees. He just says, come and follow me. Isn't that cool? I was listening to Pastors in Plaid. It's a weekly dialogue between three pastors from St. Joe, one of our sister churches, big church, and these three pastors get on, they wear plaid shirts, it's really ridiculous. But anyway, one of them is a good friend of mine, and his name is Chris, and Chris Spitters and myself, we went to school together in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, and I just have a hard time seeing Chris as a senior pastor, but he is. He's a lead pastor, and he said, you know, one day, when I was a teenager, I went running out of the bathroom, and I found my mom. I'm thinking, I can see you as a kid. I can do that. And I told her, Mom, so I just figured it out. All I need to do is follow Jesus. He's my king. And she looks at him like, yeah. It's that simple. You see, when we follow the king, we not only have a place to belong, we have a king to follow, we have a place, a person that gives us righteousness and peace and joy. And the struggles that we have, the struggles with relationships, the struggles with finances, the struggles with righteousness, with not sinning. When we get close to Jesus, it's called abiding, finding our place close by, attached to him, it's amazing how our life is changed. But we want to do this, and we want to do this, and we want to do this. And all I got to say is, you're sacrificing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom. Anytime we want to do something that's not of God, now I'm not talking about, I go to church 5 times a week and make sure I do this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as you live your life, making sure that you're in consultation with the Lord about what you do and where you go and what you say, you'll find that the kingdom of God is right where you are. It may be invisible, but it's powerful. It may be invisible, but it's real. It may be invisible, but it has a context for your life. It may be invisible, but it is the thing that Jesus spoke about. He did say repent. He did say those things. But he spoke about a kingdom more often than anything else. It gives us an identity. It gives us a place to belong. So let me ask you this. How does my witness change knowing about the kingdom of God? If I know who I am and I know who I belong to and I know it's in this kingdom, how does it change me? Well, it helps me understand that what little thing I do counts. Out in our front yard, I built these two little planter boxes. They're like 4x4. And Deb and Katie went out there and they dumped this manure mix mulch dirt stuff in there, and they've got plants in there, and I'm telling you what, these two little farmer girls go out there and they water and they check it and they look, we got something coming, and they're all excited about it. And I'm like, it's just a couple of planter boxes. Now go out to a 100-acre farm. Oh yeah, soybeans growing over here, we got corn over here, we got beans over here. Well, 100-acre farm, hey, have you seen some of the multi-mega farms? Thousands of acres? Was it DeSanto or whoever? I don't know, one of these major epi-mega something or other conglomerates. They've bought up all the little farms, and they have these huge, massive farms, and that's really a farm. I want to tell you something. The green beans that Phil's going to get off of his plants, and the green peppers we're going to get off of our plants, and the 100-acre farm of corn, and all, it's all a part of feeding the people. Your little experience in the kingdom of God is so important. Don't look at it as, oh, it's just a planter box. It ain't nothing, really. You being a part of the kingdom of God is vitally important. It's important to Jesus. That's why he gave his life for you and me. The church is the representation of the kingdom of God in this world. Just as Jesus was a representation, the essence of the kingdom of God, the church is. And the church is made up of what? People. We matter in the kingdom of God. How does this affect my witness? Well, my witness begins to reflect the king and the king's values, the character of God, the character of my Lord, the character of my Savior, of compassion, of living rightly, of treating others with care and concern. When I know I'm a part of the kingdom of God, as a citizen where my identity is formed, I now look at my witness as, wow, I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of something. That little planter box in our front yard is a part of something bigger. Oh, it's going to give off a little vegetation here and there, little vegetables here and there for our dinner. But it's a part of a greater vision of what farms do. The big church, it's no better than the little church. The little church, it's no better than the big church. It's all a part of something together. This kingdom that we are a part of is not of this world because of the quality, not the quantity. It helps us have an identity. It helps us to know who we are. It helps us in our witness because we know that we're a part of something bigger. My witness is empowered. When I know that I'm speaking on behalf of Jesus, that really shakes me a little bit. But it also empowers me and emboldens me. You see, I don't have to worry of what that person's response is if I'm speaking to them as Christ would speak to them. To love them, to care about them, to truly show them compassion, it empowers your witness. Maybe you haven't thought about your witness for a while. I want to encourage you to do that. Because the more you think about how you share your faith, how you share who you are in Christ, in His kingdom, how it's different than the rest of the world, how it's supposed to mirror the values and the character of Christ, not the values and character of the world, it empowers you. To know that He gave His life and He sent His Spirit to infill me, enabling me to have thoughts in a moment where I had no context of why I needed to go and say what I needed to go and say or do what I needed to go to do, that is empowering. Do you ask the Lord to share His thoughts with you? He will. It's a part of His kingdom. It's a part of His rule and part of His reign in your life. Not all will inherit the kingdom, though. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor adulterers, and he goes down, he's got a list of people and things that won't be a part of the kingdom of God. And it was that some of you once were. You see, when we become a part of the kingdom of God, He replaces the things of the world in our lives with the things of the kingdom. Have you thought about that in your own salvation? Have you thought about that when you think about your relationship to Jesus, that He's replacing the things of the world that are in you with the things of another kingdom? We've been delivered from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. It's an incredible thing, this kingdom. It gives us an empowerment. It gives us an ability to understand that what we have is real. This is why it's important that you and I understand that the kingdom of God is not where we are,
but who we are. Who you are in this world matters. We've seen a lot of signs that say this group matters, that group matters, they all matter, yada, yada, yada. And I don't deny that individuals and individual groups, they do matter. But what really matters is that everyone and every one of those groups is a person of the kingdom of God. That's what really matters. It won't matter whether you were red, yellow, black, or white when Jesus returns. It won't matter. It won't matter. The only thing that will matter is that Jesus is King and that He is the King of the kingdom that I'm a part of, that I give witness to, that I am encouraged through, that I am a part of. No matter how small I feel like my part is, it is a part of something bigger than myself, and it is impacting, and God will work through it. You see, He is the kingdom of God. This morning, as I close this, I want to tell you that you don't need to wait for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came on the scene when Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus showed up, the kingdom was here. It was the kingdom of heaven brought down. Now it's the kingdom of God walking among them. When He died and was raised again, the kingdom of God was established. And when he left and He sent His Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God was now empowered in every one of us. Do you get this? Do you understand this? The kingdom of God is bigger than us, but yet it is in us. It's within us. If you've been struggling in your faith, if you've been struggling to get it right, think of yourself differently than you have been. Think of yourself as a servant in the kingdom where He gives you all the tools that you need. He gives you the empowerment. He gives you the way. He gives you the righteousness, the peace, and the joy in the Holy Spirit. It all comes from the King in the kingdom. If you've been struggling, maybe it's because you haven't been thinking about who Jesus is correctly and how He can help you and me and His church represent Him in this world. If it is a struggle for you, I understand that. But I want to invite you this morning to place Jesus at the center of it all. To place Jesus at the center of everything that is your faith. Everything that is of your walk with Him, place Him right there, square in the middle of it. He is the kingdom of God, and He calls you to be in it, and He calls you to move and work within it. He calls us all who would call on His name. Maybe you just need to do that this morning. Maybe you just need to call on His name, that you would be empowered to live for Him the way He's called you to live for Him. We're going to close this morning with this song, Jesus at the Center of It All. And if there's a moment for you to just stop and be quiet during the song, please do that. Please think about where Jesus is in your life. Think about where He is in the context of the kingdom of your life and living. Is He there? Are you walking in His kingdom and in His power with His agenda? Or have you found yourself kind of living for your own kingdom and it just not working well? I'd invite you to make that a point today. To start living for Him. We're going to invite you to stand with us. How incredibly important it is for us to understand what this kingdom is all about. For it's in this kingdom context that we live and thrive and enjoy and have this experience with Him. It saddens my heart when believers in Jesus don't walk with Him in that joy and in that righteousness. So as we sing this morning, ask Him to come in. Ask Him to be a king in your life. Ask Him to be the one that your life revolves around.
Jesus.
Father, this morning, we are grateful to know that your Son had a plan, and that plan was for us to be a part of his kingdom, taking us out of a kingdom of darkness, translating us into a kingdom of light and of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, help us to live in that kingdom now, not a kingdom we're waiting for, not something that he will come and establish at another time, but that we know right now, today, it is here, it is available, and it is empowering for us. God, we have a great job to do. That great job is bigger than we are, but you give us the tools to do it. Help us, Father, from this church on this corner, New Horizons Community Church, to share about the kingdom of God, something that this world desperately needs. Lord, we see it. I know, God, your heart grieves to see what's happening, not just in our nation, but around the world. Give us the ability within our little planter box here in the United States, in Michigan, in Jackson, to do our part, to cultivate and to grow what it is that you've called us to grow, your kingdom. Go with us this day. Bless our coming and our going, our conversations. Keep us mindful of your presence here, Lord. We'll be sure to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank you for being here today.